Praise God. Amen. Amen. I got to start out with a psalm. I love the one that Amanda read. But for me, well, that was for me too. Everything, the whole service was, the whole worship, all the singing, everything was speaking to me. We started out with the stammering tongue, and one day we'll get to have a glorious, be able to sing gloriously, and I'm all about that stammering tongue thing, as you'll find out. But I want to read Psalms 19 to start, and I'm going to start at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Thank God for that.
Amen.
The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from your secret faults. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. Then I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. I'm going to read that last week. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I got a call last night from one of my good friends. Oh my gosh, I can't even remember his name now. Carl Pettigo called me last night, and he told me, yeah, he wanted to know how I was doing. I said, oh, I'm not very good. So I got to preach tomorrow. He said, oh, well, I remember a sermon that you preached a long time ago, and it was and as soon as I got home, I went and preached it to my grandma. And then he said that was the last time that she went to the hospital not very long after that. And but he got to preach that to his grandma. But the sermon that he said I preached, and I don't remember, it was Shout It From the Mountaintops. And then it's from Isaiah 52:7 that says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That would be my favorite all-time thing, to be able to preach from the mountaintops and sing from the mountaintops. But Josh asked me to preach another sermon. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's going through the Sermon on the Mount. And if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6, that's where we'll be. We'll be in mostly in Matthew most of the time. The scriptures are so good. Praise God. And anyway, he gave me this Matthew 6 scripture, which would be my second thing. If I could preach it from the mountaintops, this would be it, because I feel like God has so much to say. Jesus has so much to say about our giving. And I think it's very important that if we don't preach that, if we don't teach the church giving and about giving, then we're stealing from them. And I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to take them from you guys. I love you guys. I'm supposed to say that first thing too. I love you all. You'll get our real pastor here next week. So we're going to start in Matthew 6. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Excuse me. I should have to get to preach after the worship instead of before, because the worship was just incredible. Thank you, worship team, and Robert, and Amanda, everybody who, it was just incredible. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. It doesn't take a genius to see some really simple things in this scripture, that you can be rewarded. You get to choose whether you get the reward or whether God rewards or whether people reward you. So I want to put in a couple of opinions, and I know Josh doesn't like anybody giving their opinions. He wants just the word, and that's what I want too, just the word, but
he's not here.
He's not here. So I'd like to just voice a couple of my opinions about this scripture before I try to give you just the truth. And the first one is that Matthew was a tax collector, and if you read, I'll read it in a minute, but he knew about money. He knew about what we call cronyism now, the politicians, the scribes and Pharisees were, working for they were working supposedly for God, but the tax collectors were working for the Roman government, and everybody hated the tax collectors then, like now, but still, the tax collectors had deals with the scribes and Pharisees that I'm sure the scribes and Pharisees would they were supposed to be the ones that would control the people, control the religion. The Romans let them do that. They let them be in that position, so they took bribes from each other. And I'm sure Matthew knew a lot of that stuff that was going on. I'm sure he was in the privy with all these scribes and Pharisees who were always following around Jesus trying to catch him on something anyway. If you look at Matthew 8 and 9, you'll see that they were following Jesus while he was going through the crowd. He was healing people. He was casting the devil. He stopped the wind going across the water. He cast the devil out of the two guys into the pigs, and he forgave the paralytic. It didn't bother him if they healed him, but he forgave him, and that really got the scribes upset. So I'm going to read from Luke where Jesus first met Matthew. He said, after these things, this is after he'd been through all of them, and the scribes and Pharisees were following around trying to catch him on things. He said, after he did these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and their Pharisees saw that. They complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? Because they knew that these guys were going to tell them what was going on, going to tell Jesus what was going on. That's what they're afraid of, that Matthew and the tax collectors were going to tell Jesus, which Jesus will tell the people. They were concerned about that, so Jesus, he saw that, and he said, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call the right. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You just got to love Jesus. He always has the answer for those Pharisees, and he shuts them up. So anyway, those were my opinions. Oh no, I got one more opinion before I get to the word. And that goes with the right hand and the left hand deal, that you don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And I can't find a scripture to prove my opinion. But my first opinion is that sometimes you need to tell when you do a charitable deed. And I've done charitable deeds before, and like just gave somebody $100 or something, and I think, well, God didn't get any glory. They don't know that that came from God. They don't know that that came from Jesus or anything. So my first opinion is that if you're going to do a charitable deed to somebody, tell them that, man, God's blessed me, and I feel like God wants me to bless you, and this is from Him. Or just say, man, Jesus loves you. And bless them. You know, Holly was talking about how she takes food to homeless people, and I mean, and I know she gives God the glory, and I think that's important. And that, what that has to do with the right hand and left hand, I don't know, but I think still that you need to do that. And I was telling Kim, she wanted to know what I was preaching about today, and so I read her this scripture, but and she says, well, I don't know about that. I like to tell you when I do something good because you think I'm greedy. But I said, Kim, come here, look. I already wrote this. Tell your spouse because you are one. You and your spouse are one. And I said, nothing makes me happier than when Kim tells me that she has blessed someone. So you do need to tell your spouse. I mean, you're together in it. And then the third thing is that I can't prove this either, but because I was raised in it, I saw my grandpa give. I saw my dad give. All my aunts and uncles seemed like they were giving people. So I think you should show your kids somehow. I don't know how you do it. But somehow they ought to know that you're a giver. I mean, you're supposed to train up a child the way they walk, and so they won't be part from it. So somehow, how you get over this don't tell your left hand or right hand deal, I still think you need to tell your spouse. I think you need to tell them this is from Jesus. And I still think that you need to let your kids know that you're givers.
That's
right. So I got the approval of Joe on that. That's awesome. Okay, now I'm going to get to facts. The first thing you can see from this is that I see, and the first fact that I want to bring up is that God does reward your giving. And I'm going to read some scriptures here. I don't know if you all got that Faith Life app on your phone, but you could do my whole sermon on here, and if I was technologically good, I could do that. But you can follow the whole sermon, and it's an awesome thing that we have set up. So anyway, the first scripture that I'm going to prove to you that God does reward your giving is from 2 Corinthians 9:6. And I'm just going to read it off the paper because I don't want to be flipping around all night. It says, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he serves in his heart, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is going to reward us for giving. He says that, yeah. So a little, you're going to reap a little. You're going to you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. That's what it just says. It. God's word says it. Paul says it. He says, now may he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, he even gives you the seed to sow. I mean, if you don't think you have anything, put in your pencil. Put something in the plate every time. May he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to us, through us, to God. For the administration of this service is not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So God gets thanksgiving from our giving. And I just can't say it enough. God's word is true.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to a scripture that Jerry Lake always gave us when he was going to take up the offering. I don't know if you remember, Jerry, but you'd say, will a man rob God? I remember that so clear. I see Jerry still saying that. It says, it's from Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And next page. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there won't be room to hold it all. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you are a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So he's going to protect us. He's going to protect our crops, our vines. He's going to open up the windows of heaven that even our hands can't hold it.
Amen.
If we tithe. And there's so much. I'm just going to touch the very tip of the iceberg on giving this morning, because Jesus says so much about it that you need to study it. It'd be awesome to have a month to just study this giving and tithing. But anyway, and then Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So the first fruits of your increase, you give to him. You honor him with it. Cain didn't do it that way. He gave him what he didn't need. Abel gave him his best. And finally, if the righteous are recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? So the righteous, we will be recompensed on this earth. Our giving is not just for in the sweet by and by. We don't need it in the sweet by and by. We got everything in the sweet by and by. We need it now.
Amen.
We need recompense now, so that we can get the gospel out. That's what the whole thing's about. That's what your money's for. Is not for your Maserati. It's for getting the gospel out. So, and then I'd like to read one more scripture about giving. And this is Ecclesiastes 11. And this is not only giving. This is one of my favorite scriptures for the kids or people that I talk to want to know how to give. How to invest. How should you invest your money? How should you take care of your money? And I use this on them all the time. Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight. So don't just invest in one thing. Don't just give to one thing. Give to seven or eight things, he says. For you don't know what the evil will be on the earth, If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. Or if a tree falls to the south or the north, or in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or the bones grow, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you don't know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning you sow your seed, in the evening you sow your seed. Don't withhold your hand, for you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So he's saying, this is Solomon, the wisest, richest man who ever lived, saying, just keep casting your bread upon the water. Keep giving. Do it in the morning, do it at night. And I had, can you get that? Yeah, there. I had, I get a deal from Sound Mind Investing, which is Larry Burkett, Austin Pryor, Christian organization that talks, that helps you invest and give and gives you advice. And this is just to prove that Solomon knew what he's talking about. If you look at that, I don't know if you can see that or not, but these are things that you can invest in, mostly ETFs, but they're large funds, large value, large growth, small value, foreign stocks. Those are five different things that you could invest your money in. But you could also put down gold, commodities, cryptocurrency, and that makes seven or eight. And you could give to those things, and you look through the 9 years, and you'll see that some things prosper in 1 year, some things are really bad in 1 year, some things are good, which is what Solomon is saying here. He's saying, you don't know which is going to work. If a tree falls to the right or the left, if it rains, you don't know. But if you're afraid to give, if you're afraid to invest, you're not going to invest. That's what he says in this. This is so good, this first chapter 11, that everybody needs to read that if you don't know how to invest. Joe could maybe, like, besides beef masters, he could do Angus and, you know, invest in different kind of cattle, or the wheat farmers, or the cattle, the farmers, you know, they don't sow the same thing every year, because one time, you know, you sowed Triumph 64. This was like 50 years ago, and they had Triumph. So I asked my brothers what were the varieties that they use now, so they gave me hundreds of them. This is a Cherokee wheat variety trial here, and it's got I've never heard of any of these. Except Bob Dole. I've heard of that. And then Jim told me there's also I can't remember. It's something gold. The rest of it.
Baker Gold.
What is it?
Baker Gold.
Baker Gold?
Baker Gold.
Okay. Well, anyway. You don't know which wheat's going to fail. You don't know which wheat's... Which we planted Triumph, and that was one that grew this high, you know, back when I was a kid, or when I was young. And it all fell down. You'd have to get it off the ground. And then they came out with this different crop that would stand up. And so you need to... that's all I need to say about that. And I said I was just going to read one more, but I'm going to read two more. Luke 6:38, I don't have to read that to you, but I will. But because I want to read it I've got it in the Passion here on my paper. Well, if you want to look at it on Luke 6:38, I don't know if they got it up there, but it says in Luke 6:38, in the Passion, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over to the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. And I believe that. Totally believe that. And I know that God honors His Word. And he honors it from Genesis, where He said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." As long as there is an earth, seed time and harvest is going to remain. So it's important that we learn to be givers. And point number two that you can easily read out of Matthew 6. Is that you can choose if you're going to take the reward from man or you want the reward from God. And that's all about how we give. If we're given to give before man to see us, then we get that choice that we get man's reward. And we're getting ready to build a building. And so we're probably not going to give you a brick, because we don't want you to be giving for the brick. We may, Stoney, if you give $1 million, we may call it the Stony Ground Church or something. But you have to talk to our building committee. I don't know if that's that. But I think we care more about you that we wouldn't want you to be given for the be able to name the building. The third one is that we get to choose why we give, but God is the one who decides our motive. He's the one who can look at our heart, and He knows what's going on. Yes. He watches us. Jesus had, we know because He watched the Pharisees, the hypocrites that He says in here. But we also know that He watched the widow when she gave her two mites. That's in Mark 12. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quandary. So He called His disciples to Himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put more in than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put out of their abundance, but she put out of her poverty all that she had in her whole livelihood." Jesus watches our giving. He knows our motives, and you can't fool God. So I want to read. Jesus is really tough on hypocrites all the time. If you read chapter 23 in Matthew, He's got the whole chapter is about calling them dogs and everything else. But I want to read what my word wealth says about hypocrites in here, what it means. It's from the Strong's, or from the Greek, hupokrites. And the Strong's, in the Bible's day, actors wore masks, which included mechanisms for amplifying their voice. Since the dramas were questions and answers, the word describing the dialogue was hypochromia, to reply or to answer. Hypocrites is one who is play-acting, reading a script, or one who puts on an act. The hypocrite conceals his true motives under the cloak of make-believe. And that's what Jesus didn't like was hypocrites. He didn't, and Jesus doesn't just point out in Matthew, giving is doing something we can do hypocritical, but also long prayers, fasting. You know, and I don't want to get into somebody's sermon next week or the week after that, but God looks at our heart. And the reason that I believe that, this is another opinion, that the reason that I believe that God is so strict and calls out hypocrites is because hypocrites, what I just read, they think they're pulling one over on God. They're doing an act. And so hypocrites aren't going to be repentant. You know, a murderer, a thief, a robber, a liar, Jesus, when they repent, He is unbelievable merciful to him. We sang the first song about the thief on the cross that always straightens everybody up, because you think, wow, Jesus forgave the thief on the cross. But the hypocrites don't. They don't repent because they think they're getting over one. So Jesus is not calling them out to send them to hell. He's calling them out to prevent them from going to hell. He doesn't want them to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. So anyway, Paul Harvey, what is the reason? So why is the reason that we give so important to Jesus? Well, Paul Harvey used to say, he'd come up and he'd give this report, and then he'd say, now the rest of the story, and you have to wait till after the advertisement. But anyway, I thought I'd look up Paul Harvey, and I listened to a few of his podcasts. It's pretty cool. But anyway, he got up at 3:30 in the morning, and he studied get all the news clips out from the press that people used to read newspapers. And he would read all the clips, the press, and then he'd an FBI reach into the story and figure out what was the really point of the story. And that's what I want to tell you. The point why Jesus is so concerned with our giving is because, we'll just flip a couple pages forward to Matthew 6:19. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And this is the rest of the story right here. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God is only concerned about our heart.
Amen.
He doesn't really care about our money. He can make money. He can put it in a fish's mouth. And he can supply whatever you need, but he's concerned about the heart. It's the heart of the matter. And you read down to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or you cannot serve God and statue and status and pride and money, possessions. You get to choose. And that's what God's concerned about. That's what Jesus is watching. He's not, even with the widow and the mite, he wasn't watching how much they put in. He was watching the heart motive of it. Jesus had an encounter with the rich young fool, or rich young ruler, sorry. You can say either one. And that's in Matthew 19. It's just a little ways beyond. It says, now behold, one came up and said to him, good teacher. Turn to it here. Thank God that he gave us his word. Verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into the kingdom, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Did you get that? Come, follow me is the same thing that every one of the disciples got. And they dropped everything and came and followed him. Matthew's writing this down. He's having trouble with this. Said, come, follow me. Why don't you do that? But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With men this is impossible. But with God all things are possible. And Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne in his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, or status, or your riches, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and receive eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and last first. Oh. So to Jesus, this isn't just the rest of the story. This is the whole story. I'm going to go to Matthew 7. And I'll try to finish this up. Robert, if you're going to come up here, I don't know how long I'm going to last. Matthew 7, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? I was born in America. I was born in Tonkawa. I went to church every Sunday. And he said, no. He said, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The rain came on both houses, those who were building on the sand and those who were building on the rock. I've got one more opinion that I want to finish with. I really honestly believe that we're coming into a time where we have to make a choice. We can't just say, yeah, I'm a Christian Life Church member, or I grew up in America, or I got baptized when I was a kid, or something. I really feel like a time that we're coming into a time when we have to choose, and we have to stand up for righteousness, for Him, be a witness for Him. Not to just every day give it to God. That's my opinion. We may stay the way we are right now for another 100 years. I don't know that we can just go about our business and not really be a Christian witness. And we get to choose that. But those storms are coming on the righteous and the unrighteous, and I think we're at a point where we need to make a decision. We need to know for sure where we stand, who we stand with. Do you know Him?
Amen.
Jesus said, "Do you know Me? I didn't know you." So I'm just gonna put this out there, and I suppose you're all Christians. I don't know. But if there's anybody here that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to have prayer time afterwards, I guess, and all the elders will be up here, and we'd love to pray with you. Sierra, I don't really know how we're supposed to finish this to you. Oh, communion. Okay, we're going to have communion. But anyway, I want you to know that we get to make that choice. It's an opportunity that living in America, everyone can get to make that choice easily. If you lived in Afghanistan, you wouldn't get that choice. You might not even know that Jesus loves you. That while you were yet sinners, He died for you. Even when you weren't searching Him out, He died for you. It's a great and awesome thing. I want to pray before Joe comes up for the communion. I want to pray that I've been praying about this sermon. I really believe that God has a miracle for somebody. And maybe for all of you, I don't know, but a financial miracle. And I know we don't do that a lot, but I believe that God wants to bless people in this church. So I'm just going to pray. Father God, I just ask You for Your wisdom right now, God. Lord, we pray for miracles. We pray for financial miracles for these people in this church, for our members. God, we pray for financial miracles. We pray, God, that You would raise them up, that You would give them a gift, an abundant gift, that they would be able to testify of it. And God, we look forward to hearing testimonies of what You've done in their life. And Lord, we just also ask that everybody search their hearts. And make that decision today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.